In the last few weeks, we were discussing Rabbi Yaakov Emden as being one of those who was also involved with the Sefer Orchei Tzaddikim, and in particular we pointed out that he has a section in his Sefer Migdal Oz where he has an inyan where he talks about Aliyas Haschira, about the importance of remembering, and he gleans regarding the importance of remembering from the Orchei Tzaddikim, who has in one of the shiurim, one of the gates, we're learning now Shara Nova, one of the gates are the shiurim that deal with Zechira, deal with remembering. Interesting thing about Rabbi Yaakov Emden, as we mentioned, you know, he was nipped in 1776, and he was a simple balabos, if you can call it that way, in the city of Hamburg. That was a place where his father was Rav many, many years before, the Chacham Tzvi. And Chacham Tzvi was nifter, and it was later with the Knesset Yecheskel, was Yecheskel Katzenellenbogen, was the Rav, and Yecheskel Katzenellenbogen was nifter, then was Rabbi Yosef Eibschitz, became the Rav. And of course, you know, the tremendous world controversy between Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Yosef Eibschitz, as it were. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that was part of his life story, his life history was very confrontational. It is assumed, of course, that he was a great man, of course, that we know, that's for sure, that it was L'shem Shemayim, but his personality was such that whenever he saw something that he felt was an injustice, it didn't make a difference, even what the reputation of that person was, he would take a stand very, very strongly. I'll mention something about that in a second, which is to point out that in the Hagoyis that he writes in the end of the Masechta of Bava Basra, Davtes, the Gemara talks about the union about raising money for tzedakah. The Gemara says, a member that Godel ha-maisa yoyse min ha-oyse. Which means to say is, the person gives tzedakah, of course it's very choshev, the person who gives tzedakah, that is the yoyse, the person who actually gives the tzedakah. Then there is the person who actually is able to solicit and extract money. In other words, somebody, he goes collecting, in a sense, and bringing people to give. He's the goyim, he's the cause of people, he's called the maisa. He's making and bringing others to do. The Gemara says that the Maisa, the one who is the cause, who is able to encourage others to give, is greater than the Yoyse himself. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, why? Sof, it didn't cost him any money. Right? So it's easy. No, you give. So it goes over to people. And Daki, he encourages people to give, but Sof, they are the givers. And yet the Gemara says that Godel HaMaisa, the one who encouraged to give, the Gemara says it's greater. It's greater than the actual. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says as follows, very interesting is Loshim. It says in the back of the Shasta is Hagoyis of Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Gemara. So he says the Loshim as follows. He says, Nira Beinai, he says, you know the reason why the one who encourages others to give, you know why he is greater? Lefi says, Shetoireach v'soivel el boinois min anigvim, he says, al yodoi. Because when you ask people to give for money, many times you have to suffer a lot of bezoinis. They come, they open their mouth against you. And you have to be ready to the reaction of people. So you go and you knock on doors, so it depends, some people can be nice about it, even if they don't give, and if they do give, they also can have sometimes the opposite reaction, okay, I'm going to give you, but they give them a whole lecture. The end of the day is that the person has to be ready for all types of bizyoinis, and he's ready to tolerate that. And Yaakov Emden says, tolerating, he says, bizyoinis, he says, is more costly than giving money. So the person who gave tzedakah in the Chacham, he gave money, sure he gave money. But to be able to tolerate bizyoinis, he says, is a greater tzar. In other words, assuming there's tzar for one to part with his money, but even a bigger tzar is to suffer bizyoinis. And the person who is soliciting and going, encouraging others to give money, so his tzar is going to be the tzar of bizyoinis. And the person who gave is the tzar of money. And the loss of money is not as great, he says, as the loss of one's dignity and the loss of one's kovod. So therefore the Maisa, the one who is involved in seeing that others should give tzedakah, encouraging them to give tzedakah, right? Dealing with this with people, with the reactions of people, so that's greater. That's Godel HaMaisa, Yoyse Menoyse, so says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Another thing also, as we pointed out, that in his Siddur, the Siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, right, which is known as the, of course, Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur, so he has also many halachas. There's not just a Siddur for davening. But there's, as we mentioned, in every section, in Shacharis, he has halachas of Shacharis, and how a person should conduct himself after davening. Another person should do just maybe if he has a little time, shouldn't just run off from shul. Maybe he should have a little seder, maybe have some learning, or maybe he should learn before davening, and so on. This is Rabbi Yankiv M. Every yontif he deals with the halachas of a yontif. So interesting, regarding his seder shemetshuva, he says, what I notice, and he criticizes. So I noticed that Seres Yemetshuva said between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is that we see that the yeshiva is called Ben Azmanim. There's no learning, or very little learning. So Yankiv M is one of those, he's very upset about it. And he writes as follows. He writes in his Siddur, in the Halachas of Seres Yemetshuva, he writes, Bachurim Umalamdim. And he's also talking about the Rabbeim, the teachers. Because the teachers, many of the times, there's no studying going on, because the Rabbeim, right, took off, and the Rabbeim taking off. So male, the Talmidim haven't got Rabbeim to teach them. So he says, the Bachurim, he says, and the Malamdim, but Yevatlu b'yomim elu seder limudam. In my opinion, the Aseres Yemetshuva, they should not be Mevatl learning. Should not take off. That should not be the time. That should not be the time to be Mevatl from learning. Why? And he says, Kasha b'vayniseinu harabim rabim mehem, he says, many, he says, we find that nirpim, that they become lax, they become negligent, he says, to a worry on the tzorchei ha-talmidim. It seems that the leadership, rabbeim, teachers, that they themselves sort of became sort of like negligent in that time. And said, the kodem lo ben hazman, and that period is called ben hazman. So he says, the ech, he says, if davkin aseres yemetshuva, which this is the time that we are sort of pleading and we're being mispalel, hoping for a ksiva vachsima toiva, says, ech, how do you expect, he says, what kind of a face are you going to pour out your heart in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Be'elu ponim yishpach sicho elifne Hashem. He says, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to say, but look, you're mevatel Torah for my children, for my Talmidim. In other words, the Rabbeim and the teachers who are not there to be able to teach Torah, the Baruch Hu is going to say, you are asking for all of these things that you feel that I should grant you, but look what you have done, you have caused so much bitl Torah for all of the Talmidim. So this is going to stand against you, says Rabbi Yankiv M. And therefore he goes on to say, Umishin Egeya Yiras Hashem Beliboy, somebody who's a true Yir Shemayim, Yosef Oymitz Beyom Melu, instead of being Mevatl Adrab, he should even learn even more. He should garter himself with more strength, Lilmoydim Atalmidim, Gidoyle Muktana Beshikida Rabu, with a lot of Asmode. Anyway, this is another opinion of Rabbi Yankiv M. As you say, whenever he saw something that he felt was unjust, he would speak out about it. Interesting to point out also another thing. He had a lot of knowledge, as we said, in the sciences. He had knowledge in mathematics. He was also had a lot of knowledge in different languages. And because he was very interested in history, he was very interested also in geography, you know, and of course the times were much more primitive going back so many hundreds of years ago, but according, of course, to the standard of what was available, all that, he was very interested in knowing about all that. Anyway, so one of the things that he mentions also in one of the sefers called Eitz Ovis. Eitz Ovis, as you say, the name Ovis, because it's a sefer on Pirkei Ovis. So there he writes, he talks about people get sick from all type of different sicknesses. So there's many differences. You can make a list of all types of ailments, all types of problems. So he writes, what do you think the single most cause of people getting sick? The single most cause. There are many causes. What do you think is the single, in his opinion, this is what he writes, what's the single greatest cause that people become sick? So he writes as follows. Roiv chaloyim haboyim al udom. Most illnesses, he says, and sicknesses that come upon a person, he says, bisibas miut his amlusahem, lack of exercise. He's saying that hundreds of years ago. He says, lack of exercise, he says. And he goes on to point out, because the Gemara tells us, interesting, that when Mispal the Reif Echoyle Yama Yisrael, the Gemara says you should also have in mind, besides all the Choylem that you know you may want to have in mind, but particularly you should have in mind many Talmidei Chachomim that are sick. Why Talmidei Chachomim? Because the Gemara says, man, who are those, the Katsirei Umeri, it means who are the people, the suffering, who are those that suffer, who get sick more frequently than others? The Gemara says, the Rabbonon. He says, you know why? Because they sit and learn all day and they don't do exercise. The fi, he says, it says, Torah matesh is koicha shalodom. The person who learns and studies Torah, puts in all his effort into Torah, and his weak, right, becomes schwach. So the Torah sort of weakens the constitution of a person. The Torah is called toshio. Toshio means shematesh is ruach. Ubeem, as he says, the reason is, mipnei miut omol haguf. It's because the body is not involved in enough exercise. And he says, even though they put an effort in learning, so they do exert themselves, but it's a mental exertion, it's not a physical exertion. So the fact that they are toiling and avada, they are working very hard, but that's more of a spiritual type of work. What's an intellectual, as he says. So yes, they are exerting themselves in Torah, but Sovkosov Rav Zman, he says, they're showing them a la sefer, right? They're learning over a sefer. He says, and yonuchu v'lo yonu'u, they rest and they don't move. Yonuchu v'lo yonu'u, they rest, they don't move. He says, ulahasmid briyas aguf, in order to have health continuously, he says, tzorich hatenuos, you need tenuos. Tenuos means to move. You have to have movement, and so on and so forth. So he says, maybe it's a good idea, says the Talmud Chacham, he says, instead of just sitting and learning, you should walk back and forth in the Beis Medrash. So he's walking back, you see something that people want to think better. Some people just feel they think better. So they walk back, they think over a svara, backwards and forwards. But he says there's a lot of side benefits to that too. Benefits is that pashit for the goof, to strengthen the goof to be being more stronger. One more in the kudim, one in the bang. Bianca also wrote a sefer, it's called Megillah Sefer. That sefer is the kamat, it's not around, so to speak. You can find it in libraries, which is really an autobiography. And that's really a source, a major source of Rabbi Yankov Emden's insights and personal glimpses and anecdotes and talks about his life, his own life, his father's life. He talks about how his father was depressed. It's a very, as they say, a very open, it's brutally honest, as one would say. And he talks about, he exposes, he says, yes, I have weaknesses like everybody else, and he goes into to discuss things and all kinds of situations. As a matter of fact, you know, it's sort of like one of the, if you can call one of the biggest experts, let's say, Rabbi Yankov Emden wrote his thesis, you know, is J.J. Schachter, Rabbi Schachter, you know. And he wrote his PhD, his thesis he wrote on Rabbi Yankov Emden. So, as a matter of fact, some years later, when Machon Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael, when they were reprinting a sefer Meir Ikzia, another sefer of Yankov Emden, said they needed someone to write the Hagdom, a little bit, write about the biography, they had him write it. But it was written in Hebrew. Maybe it was translated from the English, but Lemaise, it's in Hebrew, written from him, from Yankov Yosef Schachter. So he wrote it, and I heard about it that he was planning to translate the Megillah Sefer. I called him up and said, I said, what redeeming value are you get from that? Because the man was so honest that people that would read it could get a lot of things the wrong way. And instead of interpreting and showing that even great people also, right, have weak, Adrabe, that's the godless, because in spite of certain weaknesses, they're able to overcome it. But yet other people say, okay, he's like me, you know, he's the same like me, so maybe so I and him are the same, so he this and me that, so we're equals. And the male, which instead of inspiring someone may just say, okay, he's like me, so male, that sort of like justifies whatever I may be doing or I may be thinking, because look, a great man like him says about himself this and this and this and so on and so forth. Lemaise, I'm glad he didn't print. He didn't do it. So maybe he has a big saviad somewhere, but the plan was to translate it. Megillah Sefer. It's Atke Dekach, I have to tell you, that somebody in Monsi, it's a big Hanoi, that because he was so upset, he says, what's written in the Megillah Sefer, Rabbi Yankov Emden writes, he says, so he wrote a 25-30 page paper to discredit the whole Sefer, saying that it's a forgery. Can't believe Rabbi Yankov Emden actually wrote such a thing. And he goes through page by page here to show why this, you can't believe he wrote this, and you can't believe, you know. So, see, but historians don't go along with that. I mean, authentic historians, people who have authority, it's expected that. The problem is that Megillah Sefer, the first edition that were printed, were actually printed by Maskilim, very interesting. And it said that Maskilim, the Enlightenment, people like that, they had an interest to show that Rabbi Yankov Emden, as if to say that he wasn't so perfect either. So they had an interest in it. So this person from Monsi said, you see, so Maskilim they printed, you can't trust what they print. They put in there whatever they wanted, and so on and so forth. So this was the history. Anyway, so in the Sefer Megillah Sefer, Rabbi Yankov Emden writes as follows. He talks about the greatness of his mother. He talks about his mother, and she writes that she was a tremendous tzedekis, and she brought aniyim, poor people, into the house, he says. However, they were so poor, she didn't have any money to give them. Many times. So here was the situation. She had two poor people came to the house. She would never refuse from letting them in, and they would come in. And she didn't have even a pruta. So what did she do? So she took a silver spoon. That's what she had. She had a silver spoon, and she went and she broke it into two, gave one half and the other one half. So whatever the worth of the value and the weight of the silver, she was able to give in the duva. She was able to give something. And so Rabbi Yankov Emden, right, that was my mother. and said, my father, who is the husband, of course, the Chacham Tzvi, he says, she was Mekayim, what it says in the Eshes Chayil. Eshes Chayil says, Kapo Parsol Yoni. Kapo is also like Kapit, it was a spoon. Parsol, she broke it. She broke it to an Oni. He said, V'yodeh Shilcho Le'evi. And this is how she gave it, in order to give it to the poor people. See, he said a very play on words on this Pasuk in Eshes Chayil, that this really describes what she was. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. So now, let us go to the Yochai Tzadikim. He were on the Daf Chof Tes. Daf Chof Tes. Mumei Ho'onov Nishkochim. Mumei Ho'onov Nishkochim. If I understood the lower part of the page. Mumei Ho'onov Nishkochim. The Chazigim tells us that the faults and the defects, one of the miles or advantages regarding the Yonov, because any faults or defects that a Yonov might have, Nishkochem, they are forgotten. People don't tend to dwell on faults of a Yonov, because when people see that someone is a Yonov, as a matter of fact, people really, they forgive him, and they are interested, Adrabah, let him have his call, let him have his honor, because being that they don't view him as a person who thinks he's superior over them. If people don't feel threatened by him, so if somebody who's a nonov, adrabe, the anhogi, the way the person conducts himself is the manner of humility, so mele, they're not interested in finding faults in him. People are interested in finding faults on those that act superior to them. So they want to show you, oh, you're not superior to me, you're not greater than me, you're not more choshev than me, not more important than me. But someone who conducts himself as a nonov, everybody forgives him, it's okay, he's a nonov. He says he's a nothing, zolzana, nothing. Let him be what he is. And the male, they're not interested in finding faults. Either let him have the little cover that they give him, because he's not taking it to his head, it doesn't go to his head, and he's not using it. So it says, the Orchid Tzadikin is one of the advantages of being a nonov, that the faults or defects that might have, people don't dwell with it. They're not interested in bringing it out in the open, because he's a nonov. He's not a person that's walking around, right, in godless and boasting. He says, "Vegam oizrov rabim," and many people are there to assist him. Because why? Because he's someone that people like. A person who's an olav. He is a moshul. He said, for example, he said, there's a moshul that is related. Omru olav alechud namalochim. It was said about a particular king, about one of the kings. Now, king, of course, is someone who has all the covet in the world. And he has all the things at his disposal that he wants. He has enough servants as he wants to have, as many as he'd like to have, he has. Yet, it was said about a particular king, that they were sleeping at night. Many people were sleeping around in the area where he was. Were sleeping. Now, he's not alone in the palace. There are people sleeping in different rooms. He has enough servants all around. And in the middle of the night, he needed some light. So he had to adjust a lamp to make sure that it doesn't extinguish. So instead of summoning or ringing a bell, you know, or something, have one of the servants do it. He himself didn't bother anybody, let them sleep. He himself got up. And the king himself, the king himself got out of bed and he corrected. And he fixed the lamp, in order that it shouldn't go out. So Omer Loitz, they asked the king later on, they found out, they saw, Loma Loitz, why didn't you order us to do it? Why didn't you order summon some of your subjects? Let them do it. Omalahem, so he said, listen, what did I lose, he says, by doing it myself? He said, listen, Melech Kamti, when I got out of bed, he says, I arose from bed as a king. When I returned to bed, I'm still a king. So what I did in the meantime didn't hurt me at all, he says. I got up as a king and I went and retired as a king. So the fact that in the middle, between rising and between lying down again, he says, the fact that I did something myself, he said, certainly did not take away anything from my COVID. None of my covenant, none of my importance was detracted because the fact that I had pity and did not want to wake other people that they should have to do it for me. So on the contrary, what the Chazadikim really therefore want to tell us, that a person who basically conducts himself in such a manner that extends respect to others, that he will earn all the more the respect from other people as well. So therefore he points out, so you don't lose anything by really conducting oneself, even as a king. He conducts himself with humility, he did not lose. Nothing of his title of king ever was lost because of that. And he goes further. The Yomru says, the Yochid Tzadikim further, that kol maile, he says, miskanim boi chutz ben anova. The truth is, men envy all qualities that anybody might have. If you have a good quality, those who don't have it will envy it. There's one quality that people don't envy. At the best, I'm if it's okay to forget it, be a nonov. Nobody envies someone who is a nonov. That's humility. any other quality. He says, men envy all types of qualities, he said. Chutzman another, except when it comes to another. Because why? Because another means that a person considers himself, I'm lower than everybody. So people don't want to have that. So you want to feel that way? Very good. We don't envy you. You want to feel lower than anybody? Good. Do it. Do it in good health. Feel lower than anybody else. That's not something that we are envious of. To have that kind of a hargosha. And it goes further. He said, V'yomru. And it was said that Mishu Nivze Bene Atzmoi, that the truth is a person who is self-effacing regarding himself, but Godel Ben Acherim, but in the eyes of others he is great. So whatever he thinks about himself, right, as a non-of, but in the eyes of others, in fact, he's held in high esteem. However, he points out, there is a point where a person should not be a non-of. In other words, a non-of, like everything else, has its time and its place. There comes a time where a person should not be a non-of. You put humility aside, and you have to stand up, and you have to do what's right, and not say that I'm nothing, I don't have the ability, and that is, ach ma shitzorich laharchik b'midezois. However, there's a point where you have to remove yourself sometimes from humility, and that is shlayir ona v'nichna lifnei rishoyim. Dealing right with wicked people, dealing with evildoers, you have to stand up to them. You can't just say I'm nothing and let them just step all over you or do whatever they want to do, but rather you have to speak out and express and say what is right. Balzel mar kosef, and regarding this issue, the pasuk says in Mishle. Shomel says in Mishle, he says, you know, a tzaddik, you know, is full of so many milas. But you know what can blemish a tzaddik? You know what can blemish a tzaddik? What is a mum? He says, he points out, imagine if you have a spring or you have a well with fresh water. And all of a sudden you go and you empty into the well of fresh water, a spring. You go and you empty baskets of mud. Baskets of mud. So what's going to happen is, so the fresh water is going to be mixed with mud. So even though the water is fresh that's coming out, but the fact is it mixes with mud. He says, a tzaddik could be a tzaddik, but if due to a humility he goes and he humbles himself for Russia, he, so to speak, he muddies his righteousness. The pasuk in Mishle reads as follows. Mayon nirpash. It's like a muddied spring. Mayon is a spring that's nirpash, refish. Refish is tit. So it's a mayon nirpash. It's a spring that has been muddied. Umokar moshchos. And he says, and a ruined fountain. Who is that? Who is the muddied spring or a ruined fountain? Tzaddik mot lifnei rosho. When you have a tzaddik who bows before a rosho, before a wicked person. So that muddies, that's a stain on the tzitkis of the tzaddik. Ben Yoni says, however, the good news is that in the same way that if a spring had become muddied, but after a while, being that there's continuous fresh water, Ben Yoni says in Shari Chuvit, in Shari Shlishi, the same way when you have a spring that has been muddied, but after a while, being that it's a bubbly spring, so you always have fresh water coming out, right? So after a while, it's going to dilute, and all of the dirt is going to be minimized, and it's going to dissolve, and it's going to be gone. Eventually, after a while, the spring will become fresh again. So to the tzaddik, maybe if he became temporarily muddied, but after a while again, he's going to be able to rejuvenate and bounce back. The same way like we find the mayon that's nirpush. Same with the mayon that had became muddied. This points out Ruben Yoyne. So therefore, says Yochid Tzadikim, v'im yesh yicholus biyodoy, if a person only has the power, he says, yikoy min ha-reshoyim l'kovid Hashem, he should take revenge against the reshoyim. What he means is, really, he says, you should oppose them. We should oppose the Rishonim. If there are evildoers, can't be quiet and let them assume that they are right, and so on and so forth. But a person really stand up, the Kovod Hashem. V'yachazik toichach toinegdom. And he should strengthen his rebuke against them. V'yamoid aleim, look what he says. V'yamoid aleim, he should stand up to them ka'ari noyim, like a roaring lion. That's the opposite of, you think of the nonav. Till now we're talking about a nonav, be a nonav, be humble, right? Be humble. A person should be self-effacing. All of the, you know, on of and on of and on. And then the opposite extreme, stand up like a roaring lion. Not just stand up, you know, meekly speak out. But it says, really, you stand up like a roaring lion, which means a person is able to have, right, contradictory midos, two opposite midos, because you have to use every mido, right, in the right time. And it's only good when it's in the right time. So therefore, he says, you stand up to him like a roaring lion, lahatzil hanigzol miyadagoizol, to rescue the person that had been robbed, right? The person that had been robbed from the robber. If you're able to do that. And he says, V'yoyre b'nei yodom, and you should teach people avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, another aspect, which might be a downside, and that would be called another psula. would be called a posel anova. When a person says, I'm such an anova, who am I to teach people? So therefore, he's not going to teach, he's not going to be a magid shir, he's not going to say a shir. Because who am I? And he's an anova. So no. When it comes to avodas Hashem, they're just the opposite. Then a person has to take up strength and has to take up the koyach, as he says, v'yoyre ben yodav avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To teach people avodas Hashem. And I should reprove them according to the amount of his wisdom that he has. And he says, when you mechich someone betchilo benachas, you start very gently. And if the person has to be very, very stubborn, he said, then you should tell him off. You tell him off. Now you have to tell him clearly what the truth is. You should realize what the truth is, and not fool, the person should not fool himself. The yitzav ala toiv. Exhort the person to do the right thing, the yazir, and warn him min hora, and warn him from what that is bad. Bepiv, with your mouth, bilishoina, with your tongue, kifichach mosoi, according to how much wisdom you have. And then he goes further, also part of not always being an onof, including in a person expressing himself rightfully, the yemayer lekachas dine elokim mimi shechayu behem. In other words, he should be careful to make sure that the true psagdin, a dayan, who has to voice his opinion what the halacha is, should not change the halacha in order, rather that it should fit, right? It should fit what people think about, or the ashkofas of the people, or the mindset of people, but he should not be afraid to say what the right thing is. If a dayan feels that this one is right and this one is wrong, he should express it. Now again, if you're an onof, you may feel weak. I'm not able to. I don't feel I have the courage to say that this important person, that he's wrong. That's why I said, Yochanan Tzadikim, this now is not the time to be an onof. That's what he says. There's time that laharchik b'midazois. There's time where you have to remove yourself from anivus. And therefore he says here at the end, in this example, to take din elikim mimishachayim, one who is chayv, express clearly and tell him what the din elikim are. V'lo yikona v'lo yishofil b'zei, should not humble himself and should not lower himself when it comes to this area. Fine. Now he goes, good. So we have here anivus, and we know what gaiv is. Humility and pride. Says now the Yochanan Tzadikim that there are situations where being a nonov might be just as bad as being a balgaive, just as being a boastful person, just as bad as being a person full of pride. And that is when the anova really is something which is only to show that you are nonov on the outside, but the truth is his anova, his humility is only a way, right, to strengthen his gaive. A person can use anova to build his gaive. And he quotes out to say, Yesh anova, there is anova which is just as bad, which is shirokamaya gaive. There's a kind of humility which is worse than pride. Or can be just as bad as pride. Ke'in sha also nevi'e sheker. Like we find the false prophets. What do the false prophets do? False prophets, in order to give the impression that in fact they are true prophets, so they dress themselves in the same clothing, right, that true prophets did. They attired themselves. They attired themselves in the type of clothing as true prophets. So they put on all, you know, all the clothing to show that they are kosher, that they are prophets. You know why? Because people are impressed by what they see. So a false prophet, when he comes and he poses in his attire, looking like a true prophet, he hopes that therefore the people will accept his lies, his deception. He's a false prophet. He's a Novi Sheker. Sheikublu kizveim. The idea is because they want that their deceptions, vishikrem, their lies should be accepted. So therefore they put on certain levushim, certain begodim, to give the impression on the outside to be able to fool people. And it brings the post to that. Zechariah already warned. The Novi Zechariah already warned about the false prophets who give the impression, right, by putting on their begodim, certain specific begodim, attiring themselves in a way to give the impression as if they are Nevi'a Emes. The Novi says, there'll come a time that they'll be exposed. The Novi says as follows. V'yilbishu aderes seyor leman, he says, kachesh. The false Nevi'im will be exposed. They'll no longer wear the fur cloak, the aderes seyor. They will no longer wear, that was the cloak that they used to wear. They will no longer wear the fur cloak, laman kachesh, in order to declare their lies. So now this was one of the means, the pasuk implies and tells us this is one of the means, that the Novi Sheker does not want you to know he's a Novi Sheker, so wants to give the impression, so he dresses up like a true Novi. So he says, lekach, so you have oisa maholchim ba'anova b'inam al-bushim, so the same thing also. The person wants to show he's an onov, so therefore he wears very, very mediocre clothing, as if to give the impression, he wants people to believe that he's an onov, he's not an onov. But he's like a Novi Sheker. Daiska, the Navi Sheker, puts on and wears certain clothing to give the impression that he's a true Navi. He says, the false Onov also will wear certain Malbushim, lowly Malbushim. Oh, the guy, the great Sohunet. People are going to see him, that they're going to say, oh, that's the great Onov is over there. Umedamrin Benachas. As a matter of fact, and they're able to speak in a gentle manner. So in other words, on the outside, they do everything that's right, on the outside. The outside. They're posing as an Onov. They speak benachas, they speak gently. Not only that, regarding the outside, manhigim atzmam, they conduct themselves, they present themselves, becheskes chasidim v'tzadikim. In other words, they express themselves and conduct themselves as if they were saints. As if they were saints, as if they were chasidim v'tzadikim. Why? Laman yaminu lehem. Because therefore they're going to gain the trust of people, that people will trust them, people will believe them. Be'yismuch v'al divrayim, they're going to rely on whatever they say. But at the same time, they're going to flatter those that don't deserve to be flattered. And that these are false people. They give the impression like they're tzaddikim. But at the same time, they flatter people for their own interest. They're going to flatter people who don't deserve to be flattered. They're going to flatter evil people. They're going to flatter Rishoyim. The oisim remois beseser. Here's the thing. They do deception in secret. So on the outside, they appear like tzaddikim. They speak so nicely. They speak so edel. And he seemed to do everything so right. He looks like a very big tzaddik. But yet, besides him, between closed doors, they're full of deception. They're full of remorse. The ein choshishim, look what he says. The ein choshishim l'kayim ha-mitzvahs rak barabim. And they are not concerned even about doing mitzvahs only in public. In public, everything where people are around him, he gives the impression that he's a great tzaddik. But that's only when people see him, when people are there. But not when they are alone, when there's nobody there to see them, then they remove all of the exterior, and the true essence is what it is. They're not interested at all in Avodas Hashem. The goyin v'mdas abrius, and really what they are doing is they are stealing, they are fooling the minds of people, that people should think that they are chassidim, people should think they are tzaddikim, so they may dress like a tzaddik, they may dress like a chassid, but in real life they are very far removed from that. Elohim Chalalim Hashem Baruch Hu. These people who on the outside give the appearance like he's a tzaddik, but in real life he's far from a tzaddik, this is a tremendous Chil Hashem, Yeser Mikol Odom. Why? Because at the end of the day he says, you can't fool people all the time. You can't fool people all the time. And you know what the Chil Hashem is? Because now people, when they're going to see a real tzaddik, they're going to say, who knows if he's a tzaddik? And maybe it's going to impugn. And it's going to ruin the reputation of the thing. They can say, oh, they're all tzaddikim the same. People have this thing about painting everybody with the same brush. So these kind of people, right? These kind of people who is one life on the outside and a different life in their private life, it's a tremendous Chil Hashem, he says, the Gormim, and they are the cause, that she'enu ha'oilam aminim l'toivim. They're not going to believe even the real ones. Problems many times also, you know, with certain people who go for tzedakah. And the truth is, they make up certain stories. The problem is, when you have Nebuch, you have a true case, people are very times skeptical. How do I know? You know, everybody is coming up with a similar story, you don't know who's telling the truth or not. So it's the bad is ruined for the good. That's what happens in all situations. That's what he's saying over here. That they are goyim she'ein ho'ilam aminim la'toivim, that they don't want to believe in the true ones, they've nechshadim ibnei odom, they're suspicious of everybody. Now this causes that you are going to be suspicious of everybody. Sheyoyim, that people are going to say, Shema Elu Hem Keilu. These are like these. So they can say, the old tzaddikim, who knows in the private life. So every time you see a tzaddik, right away, the first thing, instead of giving him COVID, you can say, who knows what he is really. That's a terrible thing. So he says, V'hamakir behem, therefore says the Orchid Tzaddikim, if you know such, he says, if you know such a deceptive person, who on the outside gives the impression like he's a tzaddik, and on the inside, he's far from it, it's a mitzvah to expose him. There's no Lashon Hara in that. Look what he says. It's a mitzvah to expose him. People say, Lashon Hara. No. This person's causing Chil Hashem, he says. This person's causing a Chil Hashem, and he's conning people. He's conning people. And it's going to have a terrible, terrible destructive effect on people. So, V'amakir bohem chayev, he says, L'farsim l'adiyah l'akoyl. So somebody who recognizes he's duty bound to expose them, to bring media to everybody. To let them know. By the way, it says Vamakir Bem, somebody who recognizes. So in other words, what it means to say is, it seems that you cannot hide all that well, even though this person make an attempt, you know, to lead two separate lives. But Vamakir Bem, that there's people who know. There are people who know. You can't fool the whole world. And I just want to quote just two lines of Ramchal, Mesilas Yesharim. Ramchal says in Mesilas Yesharim, he says in Perek Yud Aleph, the Omnam Geim Kaila, these real Balagayvis, because these people are real, on the outside, they pose like an Onof. The whole Anivis is for Gaiva purposes. The whole Anivis is for Gaiva purposes. So he said, these true Balagayve, Afal Pishalachoira, even on the surface, Mari Matsumam Anovim, says Mesilas Yesharim, even on the surface they appear, and they show themselves to be Anovim, they're going to have to slip. Somebody who lives a false lie, you know what they say, somebody who's a liar, you have to remember every lie because you're going to get caught in contradictions. If you tell the truth, you have nothing to remember. It's only the truth, you have to remember one thing, the truth. But lies are built, lies upon lies. You can't remember every lie that you said. It's a lie, it never was true. So you have to remember, so you're going to slip. So Mishil Sesharim says, these people, Balagaive, who pose as anovim, it's impossible they shouldn't slip somewhere. It's impossible, yiftsru, it's impossible, mechshoilus lahem, shebeli yidiyosom, without even realizing it. Without realizing, he says, tia misgalis gavosom, the gaivil said will be revealed, he says, kelehova hayoytsim ebin hacharosim, you know, when those days when you had the, you know, earthenware, you know, and so, if there's cracks, so there's fire coming up through the cracks. So you have a fire, right? Yeah, you have earthenware, and you have burning inside. You have kerosene, whatever. So if there's cracks in the cheres, you know, so the fire comes out through the cracks. So the same way he says, these people have cracks. There's cracks in their lifestyle, and the male of the truth is going to come out. The truth is going to come out. So whatever they're trying to hide, not going to be able to hide it very long. So it's going to come out. So the Archa Tzadikim says, whoever is makir, it's important. Let people know. Let people know to stay away from this person. As the Gemara says in Yuma, the Gemara says, "Mefarsavim esachanefim." So it's the first Gemara. The Gemara says we have to expose the flatterers. So we have to expose them, says the Gemara, and that's what the Yochai Tzadikim is saying. Lochem. Therefore, my advice is, Hakitza, wake up, says the Yochai Tzadikim. My advice to you is wake up. Valtisalem lirapois hagavus varamois mucho. Don't be remiss in curing yourself of pride and deception. People can fool themselves too. So he says, wake up and make sure that you cleanse yourself. Don't be remiss, he says, from curing yourself of pride and from deception. Gavus, right? Gaive and remois. Valtimna, he says. Here's a very interesting thing. Or Tzadikim is saying something, the Chofetz Chaim said it hundreds of years later. Would have been happy maybe to see the Orchid Tzadikim said it. He says, many times what stands in the way of a person refining certain character, it's many times easier, right, not to refine your character traits, but rather to expose his one's human nature, his base instincts, because that's what your base instincts are. It's very difficult to work on refining your midas. So you say to yourself, one excuse is, why should I try to work on my anger? Everybody has anger. So I should be different than anybody else. Why should I worry about always telling the truth? Hey, come on, everybody speaks a lie here and there. Why should I be so concerned about Shemiras HaLoshen, about Loshen Hara? Most people speak Loshen Hara. So Chassidim said, never use that. Everybody does it. As many times you come to a hall, you know, and you see people eating, you ask, who's the Hechsher? Nobody knows. Go around the table, who's the Hechsher? Says, everybody eats it. Everybody eats here. So somebody said it. So you know who the Rav HaMachshir is? His name is Reb Allah Essen. His name is Reb Allah Essen. That's the Rav HaMachshir. Okay, so the Chofetz Chaim said that by Shmiras HaLoshen, as we see the moshel that the Orchid Tzadikim gives right here. He says, "Altimna Babu Shetira Harbin Mibnei Gil Choisin came." Do not, he says, refrain from refining, he says, your character regarding pride, regarding deception, because many of your peers, right, people just like you and me, and they do the wrong thing. She'ena misirim hagavus ramois, they're not into abandoning their pride and their gaive and their ramois and their deception. As a matter of fact, v'imnul mochichim, we try to give them musa, you know, they say, what do you want from me? Is there anybody here that's free? Is there anybody here that's pure of this, what you're trying to reprove me? Is anybody better than me? So what do you want from me? This is what they retort when someone gives them a little bit of musa. Somebody, they say to the mochichim, show me just one, any person that doesn't have pride. Or who is the person, who is the person, you want me to be honest in business? Show me a person that's honest in business. This is what they return. This is the excuse that they give to the Baal Musa. You want me to be honest? Well, show me who is honest. Show me a person that's able to be honest, he says, in Masa Matan, in his business dealings. Bishloi L'Ramo is B'nei Yodom. Not to cheat people. V'lasa is called Masa B'Hekshir, to do everything right. So he says, and as a matter of fact, the person says, he says, the Ramai, or the dishonest person says, what do you want from me? There are many more choshev and greater people that are dishonest. So what do you want from me? I'm less than them. They're important people. And people who are dishonest, and they are greater than me, and they're better than me in many areas, right? So what do you want from me? This is the excuse. So because things is never use that as an excuse, because others are doing it, or so-called people who are greater than you are doing it. That should not be a justification for you, as he goes on to explain. You're going to say, this is part of the answer that the person might want to give. I'll do the same thing. And whatever happens to their olam habo, I'll be together with them. He says, the same one that happened to me also. He says, "Hamechashivim kach hushtus she'en dugmosa." People go this kind of a cheshbon are foolish without parallel. People say the reason I'm doing it not because it's right. I'm doing it because everybody's doing it. I'm doing it because there are more chashivim people that are doing it, so I'm also going to do it. People who use that as a cheshbon, he says, are so foolish. Shtus she'en dugmosa. Moshel, I give you a push to Moshel. He gives a good Moshel. He'll give you a moshel, he says, but then we're talking about your spiritual life. I'll give you a moshel from your physical life. And the moshel writes simply. He says, if let's say that a person has pain in his eye. He has pain in his eye. He has an illness in his eye. And he finds out that there's a particular medicine, he hears about a particular medicine that is able to cure his eye. But he knows that there's other people who have the same eye ailment, and they don't take the medicine. So he's going to say, you're not going to take the medicine because everybody else? When it comes to your health, he says, you're not going to say, I'm not doing it because they're not doing it. When it comes to your health, he says, you're important to yourself, the most important, and you're going to do whatever is possible. You're not going to say, I'm not going to heal myself because they're not healing myself. You're not going to do that. As he says, Kimisha Einav Koyavim, somebody has pain in his eye. The Eshla Kechoil, right, and he has a type of a medicine. Shuhum Mumche, Lirlepoy So'ayim. There's a medicine that is a sure remedy. And it has a reputation that this medicine heals. It would certainly not be wise for a person to say, I'm not going to do anything. He says, let's the person say this. So I'll be blind. There's a lot of blind people in the world. So I'll also be blind. You ever think a person will say that? Why don't they heal my eye? Be blind? There's so many other blind people. So I'll be like them. Certainly that's not Dvar Chochma. There's no wisdom in that. If I'll be blind, he says, and whatever happens to them will happen to me. The person who speaks like that, because it's the height of foolishness. It's a mockery. So of course, therefore, again, so you have to see to do the right thing for you. It's your neshama. What everybody else does, that'll be their issue. But you have to worry about your neshama. He says, Ayin al nafshecho. Therefore, he says, set your eyes, he says, on your neshama. Set your eyes, he says, on your neshama. Vishtadl b'chol koichacho. And use all of your powers. Because it's not going to be easy. Not easy to refine your character. Use all of your koiches. Va'al titein einecho b'mishel matu mimcho. B'malas ha'chochma ba'avoydes ha'kosh brochu. Sometimes a person says, why do I have to strive? Why do I have to strive? For refinement, so many people are below me. I'm better than most people. Or I'm better than a lot of people. So if I'm already better than a lot of people, why should I have to strive to be even better? So the Ohr HaTzadikim says, never look when it comes to Avodas Hashem that people are below you. The opposite. Look at how many people are above you. Don't look to people who are below you. It's true, there'll be a lot of people below you. But that's not, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, that's not how you measure. The barometer is not to look how many people. Look how many people are above you. He says, never look at those that are lemato mimcho b'malas ha'chochma b'avoydes ha'kodesh baruch hu. Kibuzei says, tekatzer b'avoyde b'chochma. Because then you're going to fall short in your area of chochma. Ach titen einecho v'lipcho b'mishu lemalo. Right, but rather use who's lemalo mimcho. That's to whom you should look for. Notice he says, a person should pursue, and a person should look einecho, your eyes and your heart. In other words, einecho v'lipcho. What is the lotion? Use your eyes and your heart to those that are above you. What is this double ocean, eyes and heart? Well, your eyes is to find out, say the Mefarshim. Your eyes to find out, see who the tzaddikim are. And valipcha, and to use your heart, the purpose of using your heart is to have the will. The heart is the seat of desire. You have the desire to follow them. So two things. Take your eyes and your heart to those that are greater. Your eyes is to see, find out who are all those that are, see how many are so many, there are so many above you, and the libcha, and put your heart to that also, put your heart into that you should want to, should be mishtoikik to follow them. You know it says, Bashumayim mima'al, val ha'oretz mitochas, it says. Hashem ulikim, ki Hashem ulikim, Bashumayim mima'al. So, I'm sorry to tell you this. There is your spiritual life, that's Shumayimish, Melet Himlish. That's your spiritual life. And then the Gashmish, the life, is the earthly life. That's the life of down here, on this world, the earthly life. The life of Oretz, life of the ground. I tell you this. He says, when it comes to Ashiris, when it comes to pursuing money, pursuing wealth, which that is earthly material things, then look at how many people have less than you and say, oh, I have more than so many people. Then look at people who are below you. Be satisfied. When it comes to Ruchni, it's the opposite. Look at people above you. Oh, look how far I am. Don't look. So when it comes to Gashmias, and you want to assess your situation, look, there's so many people below you, so you're doing not so bad. But when it comes to Ruchnis, don't say I'm better. Look at people, how much above. When it comes to Shemayim, look at how many above you. When it comes to earthly things, look at who are below you. But Gashmias, look at how many are below you. So you're above so many people. It's okay. When it comes to Ruchnis, see the opposite. How many people are so much ahead of you. So you'll strive to be higher when it comes to any of spirituality. And this is now he concludes and he says, so therefore, the Ishtadel should be Mishtadel, he said, Lirdoif Achrov. Therefore, you should try to pursue Avodas Hashem, Ulahasigoi, and to reach it, right? You can pursue, but you never make the finishing line. Lahasigoi. Lirdoif, Ulahasigoi. Pursue it, and to try to grasp it, kifi yecholtecho, according to your ability. B'malas ha-chochma, depending on how much wisdom you have, b'avodas ha-kodesh baruch hu. V'alzeh ne'emar. And that is in fact what the Pasuk says, near the fall of Dasas Hashem. Let us strive to know Hashem. Because you realize, if you're going to strive, near the fall, if you're going to strive to know Hashem, kishacha nochoi moitsooi. It means is that you will come forth as sure as the morning, just like it's positive. You know for sure that the morning is going to come. You know for sure. It may take a few hours, but the morning's going to come. So even though you're pursuing Avodas Hashem, it takes a while, it's going to come. The same way that the morning is going to come, right? There'll be a lot of hours of darkness. But you're very sure, everybody's sure the morning's going to come. You're going to be Masliach, he says. That's what the Pasuk says. Near the fall of Das Hashem, let's pursue to know Hashem, because Kishachar Nochoin Moitsoi. It's so Nochoin that you're going to find it like Shachar. Just like Shachar, just as it's sure that the morning's going to come, you can be sure that you're going to find it. And he says, V'yovoi ki geshem lonu ki malkish oyores. And like the strong rain that waters the earth, you know that it's going to rain, if not now, tomorrow, after tomorrow, it's going to rain. Right? That's the way of the world. It's going to rain. Finally, it's going to rain. So too, as these things are sure, so also in your spiritual life, you can also be sure that you're going to be a Masliach. So okay, so this, Rabbi Yosef, concludes this area here in the Oreh Tzadikim. So let's take a look, Rabbi Yosef, first, just, not going to have too much time, just take a look at least one piece here, and we have here, from the Divrei Yoel, on the sheet, in Parshas Emor. And decided to bring this, I think, Divrei Yoel from the Sat Meruv, because the Oreh Tzadikim was talking about the false Onof, which is really a Balgaive, which means that on the outside, in front of people, he poses as a tzaddik and as a chosid. But as in private life, it's completely the opposite. So regarding that idea of a person who lives a double life, he lives one life for the people, and one life in private, two different lives. So we have here from the Divrei Yoel, here in Pasha Semer, he brings down from his grandfather, from the Yismach Moshe. So he says, Divrei Kodesh Zikeini Zichroni Levrocha, he said, Yismach Moshe Parshas Noach. You know, in the davening, there's a difference between Ashkenaz and Sfard. On the posuk, we say Loilam Yodim Yerushimayim. Yeah, what's the step after that? Loilam Yerushimayim Beseser Ubagoloi or Beseser Kibagoloi. There's two different Nischoy. There's two different texts. Loilam Yerushimayim Beseser. Let's translate it first. Beseser means in hiding, Ubagoloi and in public. A person be Yerushimayim in Beseser, in private, right, and in public. There's another text, one word different. Beseser in private as in public. Kibagoli. You have a kid? The Benutzach Ashkenaz who lo oilam yeyodam Yerushimayim Beseser kibagoli. Benutzach Svard who, and Nutzach Svard is, lo oilam yeyodam Yerushimayim Beseser ubagoli. What is the difference between these two? What is the difference between these two Nischois? So he says as follows. Dine. So this is quoting from this Mahmoshe. There is a lepomi many times, yimso ish. You find a person, When he's in public, Makelos means when you're in front of a kohol. You have people that when they are b'makelos, right? B'makelos om, right? When they are among people, yitain mazva hayir al ponov. He puts the mask of Yerushalayim on his face. In public, he puts mamish what the Orchid Tzaddikim is talking about. The people leads two lives in public. He puts the mask of Yerushalayim on his face. Laharoish to show shu ishtam v'yoshev tzaddik b'masav. To show that he is mamish and Elohi is an honest person, is his tzaddik and everything and so on. The reason he's doing it because in public he's embarrassed to do. The real thing is that he doesn't want to show people his true what he is, his true essence. He's embarrassed. So in public he does things because he wants the COVID, right? And wants to save the embarrassment. So he's doing it machmas abushe. Because what are people going to say about him? So therefore in rabbi in public, right? So he conducts himself right, like he's a tzaddik, like he's a chosid. But his in the darkness he does whatever he wants to do. In private he does what he really wants to do. Because when nobody sees, then he'll do everything right that are the wrong things. There's no one to be embarrassed from, no one sees. So he does whatever he does. So here we have a person. This is a type of a person that begolui, right? That in public he shows, right? He acts like an elochid, in private not. So for this type of a person comes the nusach. Loilam yayodim yeshemayim b'seisu. You should be this in private. You should be the same yeshemayim as kivagolui. Because in public you are acting as a yeshemayim. So make sure that your b'seisu in your private life you're the same as kivagolui. That's that nusach. As he points out, which means that even though when he's in private, should have the same yishamayim kemoi beishu bagoli. Okay, that's one. Now, there's another aspect in life when it comes to avodas Hashem, and we're talking about now not people who live a double life. We're talking about tzaddikim, but even for a tzaddik who wants to do a mitzvah l'shem shemayim. It's easier the other way now. It's easier to do l'shem shemayim in private. We're not talking a person who lives a double life, who in private life is a mushkes. No, we're talking about a tzaddik. In private, a person, it's easier to be mechavan l'shmo, because there's no ulterior motive. He's not expecting anybody to see you. In private, if you are a tzaddik in private, it means I'm doing l'shem shemayim, I'm not doing because somebody sees. But it's more difficult when you are among people, and people are observing you. It's more difficult to be mechavan l'shem shemayim, because sof kol sof you're being influenced, and the fact that people are around you makes you right want to do it a little bit better, maybe to show. It's harder to have kavan l'shem shemayim when you are in public than in private. In private, it's easier to be mechavan l'shem shemayim, as he points out. You have people among you. Now we're talking about tzaddikim, same tzaddik. It's easier for the tzaddik to do it kula l'shem shemayim in private than to do it in public. If you find because being is afraid of people, because there he's embarrassed of people. Right, and therefore we says be yoser. Therefore, especially mishum shebeeshu oisa mitzvah bifne anoshim. Because when you're doing people a mitzvah in front of people, olu is very prone. She is our boy that's going to be mixed in machshavas sigim emleches achoynef. You want to flatter also sigim is impurities. You have machshav impurities. So of course, people are seeing. So maybe you might damage your nest a little bit longer. They should think you're bigger. That the person becomes, right? A person becomes challenged that he should conform to what people are going to think about him. So when you want to do a mitzvah, it's easier l'shem shemayim in private than to do it in public. So comes the other nusach. Loim yodim yeshemayim b'seiser u'bagolui. Not only b'seiser, but also bagolui also. The bagolui should try to what? To don't care but with the people around you, but concentrate on the mitzvah itself. It should be the same thing. So here these are the two nekschoyes. And as we see that the idea, the notion with the Yochad Tzaddikim brought, that this is the idea that we say has to do with the two nekschoyes. You know what, just for the last few minutes, let's move to number 3 we have here on the bottom. And you'll see here, this is from Rabbi Yonis and Aibishis, because we started speaking about Rabbi Yankiv Emden. So here to give equal time a little bit, you know, for the major rival, which is Rabbi Yonis and Aibishis, in his Yaris Devash, that's the name of his sefer, the forests of honey, Yaris Devash, he says, in one of the drushes, listen which is quoted over here. And you'll see something very fascinating. Remember, we're dealing with now, you know, over 250 years ago. And he writes as follows: Koshim, there are very in the Sefer Yair's Devash are is drushes of Musar, very strong Musar. Rabbi Yosef Eibshitz would get up and really speak about everything that he saw that needed a tikkun, that needed to be rectified, and he would get up and talk about it. And you see all his drushes, you see all the situations when he talks about. He talks about sneis, he talks about davening, he talks about every area, about the person's business dealings, every aspect of Jewish life. He does not spare the rod, so to speak, with his mouth, to rebuke them, to tell them the right thing to do. So here we have here strong words. The Rabbi Yitzchak spoke about klapa ha-gaive, okay, we're talking about gaive and anivis, v'ha-sachrus, competition, b'knis ha-mitzvahs. Okay, listen to this word now. Here starts the words. Ibn Saif talks about the competition buying aliyahs in shul. The competition of buying, they sell the aliyahs. Okay, so everybody outbids the other. It's done all over. But look what used to be in his kehillah. Or la dafke in his kehillah, as a matter of fact. Let's take a look here. First he says like this. First of all, I have to realize, what is a shul? What is a shul? So, kvar kosev ha-Mordechai. The Mordechai, one of the great Rishonim, the Mordechai who lived in the 1400s, the Mordechai wrote, "Shebeis HaKnesses Shalonu, our Beis HaKnesses, our shul, yesh lo kedushas heichel Beis HaMikdash." So our shul, our Beis HaKnesses corresponds, right, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash. You have to realize what is a, that's a shul. Now, imkain, if our shuls represent the Beis HaMikdash, Tzorech, he says, "Lehimotze banova yisere." So then Beis HaMikdash, which is the shul, the person has to conduct himself with exceptional humility. Katan v'gadol sham shavim. Look, in the eyes of Hashem, everybody's equal. You're standing in a shul, which is the place of Hashem's Hashchina, that's where Hashem comes in. So everybody, katan v'gadol, everybody is equal. But he says, unfortunately, he says, loikein adover, due to our many sins, he says, this is not the thing. Ikar ha-gaive b'beis HaKnesses. He said, it should have been, he says, that the Beis HaKnesses should be a place of exceptional humility. Instead of having exceptional humility, we have exceptional gaiva, just the opposite. In our shuls, he says, what happens is we have the greatest measure, he says, of gaiva. He says, arrogance. Where's that? Ba'aliyas ha-toyre, betfilos, tekiyas, be'esrik. Show off, where's the nicer esrik? Be'esrik. Hakofis, who gets the first aliyah? Right? Who gets the most choshev aliyah? Who's first, who's second, who's third? Hakofis. Vishara chalukas kibudim. And other areas of kibudim in the basic Knesset. Ad, look what he says. The machloikis, regarding buying aliyahs, or a kibudim in hakofis, look what he says. Arashikam upon mehutsukul lalechis lakoyis. That the person had settled it in court. Settled in court. The machloikis that came about as a result of the situation of kibudim in the basic. That the settled in course. He said, Baruch Hashem, he says, should be Koloseinu Metz. Because before Hamburg, before Germany, Rabbi Yosef Eibshitz was a Rav in Metz, Alsace-Lorraine, so Rav in Metz, France. He says, Kan lo nishma shtus kozeh. Baruch Hashem, in our kehillah, we don't have it. Aval libi davoy, but my heart, he says, is in pain. Al pirsis Yisrael b'sham, because I know what's happening in other mekayim, in other places. V'akosuv mazir, in the pasuk clearly says, v'leisala b'malois al mizbechi, when it comes to my mizbech, when it comes to avodas Hashem, v'leisala b'malois, don't try to go hide, you should be on top. Conduct yourself with anivis. Don't go up the high steps. Don't climb the ladder. Ibi Yoyser, look what he says, especially b'yoy mechubed v'kodesh l'Hashem, k'shabes v'yontev, especially a day that's so holy, like k'shabes v'yontev, davke shomo shiruya hagave b'yoyser. The gaiv of people, it says, comes out. It comes out. It bursts out, explodes when it comes on the Shabbos of Yontif. V'doichim b'des ha-shchina, and therefore they are the cause of chasing out the shchina. They drive out the shchina. V'noisen mokim l'sitra achra lishkoin, and they bring in the evil forces of the koiches of Tumah. Oy lonu, he says, kichotonu. So this is words of Musa. Strong words of Musa. So the Rosh should be able to be mistaken a little bit and get a little bit closer. At least we see the attitude of what we're supposed to strive for, and to have a tzloche in our area, this venture of refining of the midas.